just come out of the blue. It's something that they have been paid for. So it's looking at solutions like putting hashtag ad. That is the most common solution to this problem, that you put hashtag ad in your tweet, and then you can, the consumer knows that this is paid for content, that the influencer has received something to do that content.
Similarly, for blogs,
you know, when the influencer has been paid to review something, been paid to go to the restaurant, even been given a free meal to go to the restaurant and review it, that's something the consumer should know, because that content is different from when a blogger happens to go to a restaurant and talks about it in their blog very spontaneously. Mm-hmm. And as consumers, we know that. We know that that different that content's going to have different influences on it. And we want to know which is paid for, which isn't paid for. So that is the biggest aspect of the new social media regulations in their draft form.
All right. Now, most people would listen to that and say, okay, what you're saying is reasonable. But most of us are able to distinguish or glean from looking at an advert that someone must have been paid to do it. Why is it necessary for that declaration to be so explicit?
First of all, you know, I'm not sure that so explicit is the correct terminology for putting hashtag ad. You know, mm-hmm. three little figures for it. But fair enough. I think the reason is, first of all, because not all consumers have the same level of education about what's going on with influencers. Some of us are very aware of influencer marketing. And the moment we see a tweet that seems to be an influencer type marketing, we know that that's happening. Not all consumers have that awareness. But also because it's getting cleverer and cleverer. And we are being taken in more and more by stuff that we think is genuine content, and then later on turns out to be influencer content.
Fair enough. Let's look at the issue of deceptive, false, or misleading content. I mean, this is something, fake news, that we are grappling with all the time, and not just in South Africa, all over the world.
Yeah. So absolutely, this is a huge problem. Where these regulations come in, because the vision is that these regulations will be carried in the Code of Advertising Practice. So at the moment, it's looking at the advertising aspect. So these regulations are going to, they're going to apply to advertising content. And fake news is sometimes going to fall into that. It's sometimes not. It's often not. So this is not a solution for fake news.
Right.
Where it will come in is where you're getting clickbait type advertising. So it flashes a tweet giving you an article saying, learn how Joanne Joseph makes 50,000 rand an hour in her spare time. And then you click on it, and it's actually something completely different.
Mm.
That would be misleading advertising, because you've clicked, you've responded, you wanted a particular service for that, and you didn't get that. So that would be advertising. But fake news per se, that's going to have to be solved in a different way, which hopefully we will be part of that conversation. But as an advertising regulator, that doesn't fall squarely on our shoulders.
All right. Now that you have suggested these draft proposals, what's the next step in order to make them a reality? Do they go through a process? What is that process?
So they currently are open for comment, and people who want to comment must comment via the IAB. The IAB are the Association for Digital Advertising Agencies and Publishers, and they have really driven this process. So that commentary process is open. When that's finished, we will gather all the commentary. We will look at it, see what is valid, what we think can work, what won't work, do a second draft of the regulations. Then it has to go through a code review process within the ARB in order for it to be part of the ARB code. And that code review process will involve the board signing it off, and the board are representatives of the marketing association, the digital advertisers, and the traditional advertising agencies. And once that has happened, it will be part of the code of advertising practice.
All right. And once it does become part of the code, if it does indeed, who polices these practices, and what are the consequences for breaking them?
It will be the Advertising Regulatory Board, and it will be like with any advertising, that if you break the code, that your advertising will be pulled. It is going to be difficult, because we're in a difficult space. It's social media, it's Twitter, it's Facebook, and these are areas where our enforcement is weak. It is difficult for us to enforce. I think that we will have the respectable brands, the ethical marketers who never have had a trouble with self-regulation, they will listen easily. We probably are going to have a challenge with some of the influencers. We have got input from influencer organizations, blogger organizations, as far as we can.
Yes.
And hopefully
have they
we are
responded,
respecting
Gail?
Something they want.
All right. I was just wondering, how have they responded so far?
Yes, they have responded and they have taken part in the conversations. So, you know, so hopefully we're getting something that really is representative of what everyone wants. The enforcement is going to be interesting, and the IAB is going to be a big part of that, because obviously their members include a lot of hosts of digital platforms. So we're going to have to look at how we enforce that.
Gail, just one last question. Would this bring South Africa in line with the rest of the world as far as social media conduct is concerned?
Absolutely. This is something that is currently a challenge worldwide. And some jurisdictions like the UK have already got their codes in place, and our code is very, we have been very guided by the UK position. And other jurisdictions we see are in the same stage of the process as we are, draft ideas, draft jurisdictions. You know, the thing we want to avoid is we want to avoid a very strict regime and a very governmental regime. For example, in China, influencers are having to register before they can be influencers. We don't want that sort of kind of draconian system here. Mm. We want a self-regulatory system, and hopefully everybody will buy into it enough that there will be no need for government to step in.
All right. Thank you so much for your insight into that story. That was Gail Schimmel. She's CEO of the Advertising Regulatory Board.
Eusebius Makaiser, weekday mornings, 9 to 12.
I actually think this week has been more horrific in terms of the Zondo Commission. And it is not true that the only center of corruption is the state. That you also have, within private enterprise, you have corruption between corporate citizens, quite apart from what happens with state-owned entities. Our nightmare is the reality of how entrenched culturally corruption really is within our society.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 for the curious.
Stuck in a rut, deserve a promotion, or want to take on a new challenge? Red and Yellow's online courses are designed to equip you with the knowledge and practical skills to get ahead in your career. Highly respected by the industry, their courses range across business and marketing, combining the convenience and flexibility of online learning with the richness of real human interaction. Visit redandyellow.co.za to boost your CV and take your career to the next level.
Play Powerball and Powerball Plus this Friday with life-changing jackpots estimated over 120 million rand. Buy your tickets now at participating retailers and online channels. Panda, Busha, Play. Players must be 18 years and over. Play responsibly.
Dear big people with cars,
we are the children of South Africa.
A lot of us get killed in road accidents every year.
It's not even our fault, because we can't even drive.
We want to live and one day be big like you.
That's why we want to appeal to you big people with cars.
Please, please drive safely.
Please, please put us in baby seats.
Please, please buckle us in.
What else can we say
when the people who are meant to raise us are the ones killing us?
It's the festive season. Let's protect our children. A message from the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, RTIA, for peace of mind on the road.
Joanne Joseph.
Taking your calls
on 011-883-0702.
All right, so let's take this quick call from James in Randburg. James, you want to talk about the Zondo Commission?
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Joanne.
Sure.
A mother of all questions for President Ramaphosa. What if Zondo himself were to be implicated for state capture? What will the state capture be called?
Well, that's a hypothetical question, isn't it, James?
Yeah, I'm saying this because, South Africans are extremely unpredictable.
You're shocked by what happened this afternoon. I was too, I must admit. I mean, one wouldn't expect someone so close to the commission to be implicated.
I hope the president has plenty, because here in South Africa you must expect the unexpected.
That's true. That's a very wise thing. I mean, I wouldn't like to malign the judge by saying so, because as far as I know, he's only been a man of integrity throughout this process and all the previous judicial work he has been involved in. But I think what that James, your call is important, because it points out how close to home it really is. We tend to stereotype people and imagine that people who were allegedly involved or involved in corruption are always at arm's length, you know, kept at arm's length, that they're a sort of breed of their own, and they stand aside from the rest of us who don't believe in that kind of thing. But it's not true. I mean, they walk among us. They are integrated with us. We actually, I think state capture, if anything has, or the uncovering of state capture, if anything has shown us that we simply don't know who has been caught up in this. So let's take you back to that story that we ran just a short while ago about the advertising regulator drafting new rules for social media, and essentially a thrust of what Gail Schimmel from the regulator authority told us was that they're simply trying to protect those who are consuming social media and trying to bring social media practices in line with what is the international standard. Farah Fortune joins us now. She's the founder of Africa Star Communications. And Farah, I'm sure you've familiarized yourself with some of the suggestions that have been made about the way social media should be perhaps not reconfigured, but you know, how far more openness should occur in terms of the revelations made on social media about the origins of articles, influencers who are being paid for the statements and endorsements they make and the like. How do you feel about this?
Hi, good afternoon. Well, you know, from our side, running a public relations company, it's all about natural and organic marketing, especially when it comes to digital marketing and influencers. And for us, obviously, it's going to have an impact on any PR company, because usually it's supposed to be organic. It's supposed to be, look like it's coming from the influencer naturally, rather than being an ad and something that's paid for. Now that it's mandatory to put it out there, you'll see lots of brands have done it recently where, you know, they've insisted the influencer does put hashtag ad or sponsored post. Because now you can actually get into quite a bit of trouble for it.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm wondering, from a PR practitioner's point of view, or if you're an influencer, how difficult does it make your work?
Well, from my side, I do both. I am an influencer, and I'm also, I own a public relations company.
Right.
So it impacts me from both sides. So from a public relations point of view, the way we strategize what we put forward to client budgets are all different now, because you have to pay your influencer. It's not just these days, it's not about sending a product anymore and saying, oh, please put this on your Instagram. You have to pay your influencer. And now those budgets have to go up, because now you're obviously paying for ads. And, you know, if platforms like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook now start charging the influencer for hashtagging that as an ad, that's a budget that's going to have to go up again. So it really affects us in quite a big way. And as an influencer, it affects me, because now my rates change. I now have to charge more, because if I'm going to be charged for advertising, I need to cover that cost. So it's not just about, again, sending a product anymore and just saying, hey, please put this up for us. It's actual advertising now.
Right, right. I mean, it's a very interesting perspective, and I'm glad to hear that from you, because many people will be in much the same dilemma. But I must ask you, is that not balanced by the importance of the social media consumer's right to know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I really wouldn't have any sort of ethics if I sat here and told you, no, they can't know anything. Yes, they have to know. It was just done differently before. And because it was easier, I'll be honest, from a PR point of view, where you have an influencer, you give them a product, you give them their rates, and they put it out, it's a lot easier for them to influence, or for us to look like it's an organic influence from the influencer side. So the product will sell more from that perspective than someone saying, oh, they're just getting paid to put it on their Instagram. So that's, you know, what we have to rely on here is that influencers themselves have ethics. They only endorse products that they actually use, that they actually like, that they actually engage with, rather than just looking at the paychecks. So now we're going to heavily rely on influencers to also have a balance with us.
All right. Lovely to have your insight there. Farah Fortune, founder of Africa Star Communication.
EWN Business. 39